Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
The Bible is a great book in that it contains a lot of practical wisdom. In other words, I love the doctrine of the Bible, and I love the truth of the Bible as it concerns spiritual matters and salvation and dealing with sin in our lives and getting close to the Lord Jesus Christ, sanctification, consecration, all those things. I love the Bible for that. I love the Bible for its prophecy. I love the Bible for its ability to cause us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I also love the Bible because of its practical wisdom. In other words, you can read the Bible and learn some things about daily life, about a better relationship with your spouse, about training your children, about handling money, about your job, just very practical. And that's because the Bible is not just a spiritual book. It is a very practical book as well. In other words, military leaders can learn practical war tactics in the Bible. You look at the ambush that was set up at Bethel and Ai as an example. You look at the way that Joab divided his forces with Abishai against the Ammonites and the Syrians as another example, and how they were ready at a moment's notice to reinforce each other depending on the strength of opposition by their enemies. Tremendous military strategies, and many others. Businessmen can learn practical business management in the Bible. Ethics, very high in the Bible. Diligence, delegation, all those things right here in the Bible. Fabulous, practical book. I've often said that I would have been a much better banker when I was in the banking business if I had been a Bible reader, particularly if I had read through the Bible several times as I was coming up through the business. Because there's an awful lot about human nature here, I would have been much wiser about lending practices, for instance, and investing practices. Well, today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about wise investing. Because I was in the banking business, people contact me from time to time and they say, what do I do with my money? What is a good way for me to invest? And I'm not going to deal with things like diversification of your assets and retirement planning and 401ks and IRAs and insurance and all those other matters. There are men in the industry that can help you with some of those matters. I'm going to talk to you what I think is the greatest investment advice that I could give. It is investment advice that I have followed for the last more than 25 years, and I have not yet found anything wrong with this plan. You may not like what you hear when you first hear what I'm going to say, because I'm going to give you a summary of the plan, but if you will listen to the Bible, which is a very practical book, and listen to everything it has to say regarding this investment plan, I believe that you will find it to be very sound. And I also believe that if you try it, you're going to find that what I showed you from the Scripture is absolutely right. Here it is. You ready? One sentence. The secret of investing is giving. That's right. The secret of investing with the Lord is giving. That is the Lord's investment strategy, and I'm going to show it to you. Now, in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, the Bible says, and this is Paul speaking with the elders of Ephesus, is giving them instructions before he leaves. The last thing he says, because verse 36 of Acts chapter 20 says, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down, prayed with them all, and he left. Okay. Well, look at what he says, the last thing, verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what he said. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I believe that. Now listen, watch how this lays out from the scripture. In investing, you need to do four things. And they may have other things to add to this when you get investment advice, but I'm going to show you four things that come up just about every time you have a discussion with an investment advisor. In investing, you need to, first of all, build a growth portfolio. That is, you need to build a portfolio that gets bigger each year. And investing in the market, what some of these investment strategists do is they capture gains whenever you have something in your portfolio that has gone up a great deal. And then what they do is they mitigate and diversify your portfolio. They mitigate it against risks of volatility and risks of decline. In other words, the markets have a tendency to go up and down, and what they want your portfolio to do is not react to those down cycles. All right? So, and what that hopes to accomplish is over time, you get a portfolio that grows. Okay? So, in investing, you need to, number one, build a growth portfolio. Well, let me show you how to do that from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And look at verse 24. Now, I realize that what you're reading is a principle, but I have applied this principle in our lives, that is, in my life, in the life of our family, and what Solomon said was exactly right. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. He said, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. He that scattereth increaseth. All right, in order with the Lord to build a growth portfolio, something that gets bigger, you have to scatter it. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. Now, the best kind of growth portfolio is one that increases and throws off a little income as well. And so when you read in the Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, here's what you read. And God is able, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, we'll read down to verse 10. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now you see all that going on there? What you have going on in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 8 through 10 is something that is very important. This is in the context of giving. You see that in verses 6 and 7. We're going to get back to those verses. In the context of giving, okay, you have a commitment from the Lord to provide for your sufficiency in all things, all sufficiency in all things. The formula is dispersing abroad, giving to the poor, and then the Lord ministers seed to you, the sower, that allows for you to have bread for your food and an increase in the fruits of your righteousness so that you can multiply your seed sown. It's an amazing thing. Now, Paul said in Philippians, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. In our own experience, I have seen times when we have really, 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 really had to watch our budget because things were very tight, and I've seen other times when we couldn't seem to get rid of it fast enough. And in both of those, we were instructed toward contentment. That's what Paul said. And we have seen the Lord still faithful. There's always been food on the table, and there's always been the opportunity to be able to provide for the needs of others. So build a growth portfolio. You do that by scattering. Scattering results in increasing. Okay, number two, in investing, you need to not only build a growth portfolio, but you also need to generate generate disposable income. That is, something you can spend or reinvest each year. I mean, that is ideally the plan of the world's investment strategies. Have a portfolio that is growing but also generates some income. Again, that in the Lord's economy is done by giving. Look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and look at verse 38. Luke 6:38. The Bible says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again." All right, now what's going on in Luke 6:38 is very simple. He starts by telling you the principle. The principle is, give and it shall be given unto you. In other words, as you give, you are going to generate things that are going to come back to you. But what you've done is established a pattern that when it comes back to you, you're giving again. As one preacher described it, you become a conduit for the Lord. The Lord gives it to you and it goes right through you to somebody else. And what he does is he opens up the conduit and continues to give so you can give. And he gives according to your measure. He said, you use a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it should be measured to you again. When I have preached this verse of Scripture in churches before, what I've done is I've used something like a thimble or a little small measuring glass. I have used a Dixie cup, maybe a 12-ounce cup, and I've used a 5-gallon bucket. And what I show them is this. I say, okay, take this little measuring cup here. That's a good measure. Now, what we're going to do is put a contents in it, and we're going to press those contents down. All right, and then we're going to shake them together. Have you ever noticed when you press down, sometimes what you're doing is compressing the top of your measure, but when you shake it together, you actually find that the stuff in the bottom settles down so that you actually have more room for more stuff to go in your measure? All right, so that's what happens. Press down, first of all, shaken together so you can add more, and then a little extra, heaping to the point that it is running over. If you take a heaping cup, you can get it to heap up without pouring over, but when you pour over or run over some, now you've got all that the measure could possibly hold plus some that spilled out on the counter. All right, and the Lord said, that's how men are going to give into your bosom. So if your measure is a little cup, then, you know, once it's pressed down, shaken together, and running over, all of those contents could easily fit in the 12-ounce cup. If you had used a larger measure, there would have been more supply. And then I show them, you take all of that's in that 12-ounce cup and get it pressed down, shaken together, running over, sweep it all up, put it in a 5-gallon bucket, and it won't even make a dent in the 5-gallon bucket. You'll have so much room. So you are the one that determines by your measure how the Lord is going to use men to give to your bosom. So if you really wanted to generate some disposable income in the Lord's method of investing, you would have a better measure than something like a tithe in order to give. There are people that have debated and asked and discussed about the tithe and all that stuff. And when you go to Acts chapter 2 and you see what those men were giving in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, there was no wonder that Paul wasn't talking to them about tithing, because they were giving everything they had. The widow gave her 2 mites, all the living that she had. Zacchaeus gave half of all of his possessions. And Barnabas gave everything he had. He sold a possession, gave it all to the hands of the apostle, and went into the ministry. People are talking about the wrong thing. They're trying to see how low they can go. Okay, if you want to go low, you're going to have a small measure, and the way that men are going to give back into your bosom is by small measure. When you really give and give substantially, then what happens is the Lord generates more for you to be able to give. In investing, you need to build a growth portfolio. In investing, you need to generate disposable income. In investing, you need to lay up a portion for your retirement. That is a growth fund that is very long range. You say, well, how in the world do I do that by giving? Well, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 and 20 and 21, he said this, Matthew chapter 6, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal." And there's plenty of those, aren't there? Even many of the men who are entrusted with the responsibility of investing can sometimes become more concerned about their commissions than they can about your assets. And the next thing you know, they put you into something that it costs you half of what you invested. And I'm not suggesting that your investment advisor is going to do that to you, but people do that. So what I'm saying is what the Lord said. He said, lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Well, in this case then, what you see is you can actually send money on ahead, and it will be there for you in eternity. People say, well, you know, you can't take it with you. You don't have to take it with you. You send it on ahead. And I'll tell you what, when you get there, it's there. You say, I don't believe that. Listen, when Jesus Christ was dealing with the rich young ruler in Luke chapter 18, that man came to him and he said, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And the Lord said, keep the commandments. And the fellow listed up some of the commandments. He said, all these have I kept from my youth. Well, then the Lord said, yet lackest thou one thing. Verse 22, Luke chapter 18, yet lackest thou one thing. Watch it. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor. Watch it. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. The greatest way to preserve your wealth is to send it on ahead, is to do what the Lord said, to give it. And he said, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. That's what Jesus said, not what I said. And so people say, well, I want to have something for my later years in life. Well, your later years in life are going to be in your glorified body for eternity. And the Lord said, you send it on ahead, it'll be there for you. You say, well, what I need with it then? All I know is what the Lord said, and there must have been some reason for him saying it. And if you're thinking about having something for the long term, then you might want to consider what the Lord said about how to make sure you can have it for the longest period of time you could possibly have it. Now, most people don't think that far down the road. What they end up doing is thinking about how I can spend the money that I have on the pleasures that I want to seek now. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. What happens is, he has the opportunity to spend a lot of it down here, and so he does. So the Bible goes on to say in Proverbs chapter 21, there is treasure and oil to be desired in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Now I'm going to tell you something. I have been in a position from time to time to be able to buy a boat where I could go around fishing in the bay anytime I wanted to. And I like fishing, and I like boats. But you know what? Every time I think about doing that, and I'm not telling you you're wrong if you do, but I'm just telling you what's going through my mind. I'm thinking, number one, I'm going to be spending time out there that I ought to be spending in the ministry. And the second thing I think about is if I tie that money up in the maintenance of that boat and the ownership of that boat and the insurance of that boat, that's money that could have been given to missions to help these guys win souls on the foreign field, and I just can't spend it up that way. Again, I'm not telling you that you'd be wrong for doing it. I'm just telling you what goes through my mind when I realize I have the opportunity to do something with it now for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it'll be there for me in eternity. I think it's not worth it to spend it on the boat, not by comparison to what God can do with it by investing it in his plan. You understand? So the secret of investing with the Lord is giving. In investing with the Lord, you build a growth portfolio by scattering. In investing with the Lord, you generate disposable income by giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. In investing with the Lord, you lay up a portion for your retirement by giving, by laying up your treasure in heaven, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. But I'll tell you something else. In investing, you need to maintain some liquidity. What is liquidity? It means that you have some income that you have invested in something that you can easily turn into cash right away, like a CD or a treasury bond or something like that. And that's something that doesn't take you any time to get out of. Like, for instance, if you invested in land or a house, it would take you time to get out of that asset. But when you invest in a CD or a treasury bond, you get out of it the moment you call your person and say, I don't want that anymore. And the way to maintain liquidity, according to Acts chapter 20, verse 35, is to give. Support the weak. Support the weak. He says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, when he tells you to labor with your hands, he says not only to supply your own need, but to take care of the needs of others. In other words, by giving, what you're doing is you are putting something in the hands of the Lord for the benefit of a person now, and when your need comes up, you can call upon the Lord to take care of your need because you have taken care of the needs of others at a time when you had it and they didn't. Ephesians 4:28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Now, when you support the weak and give to him that needeth, what you have essentially done is you have made a loan to the Lord. And at a time when you have a need, then what you can do is basically call that loan. In Proverbs chapter 21, verse 13, the Bible says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Well, that's a terrible situation to find yourself in. But the Bible goes on to say that when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. Watch it. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. So there comes a time when you may have a need, and what simply happens is you call upon the Lord, and there he is. He's got somebody to take care of that need for you. I have seen that happen in our lives so many times that I just can't even fathom how anybody would not believe and trust that the Lord could do this. I remember when we were in Bible college, we had committed to feed visiting preachers and our own pastor and his associate. And that particular week, we didn't have anything in the pantry, we didn't have anything in the refrigerator, we didn't have anything in the bank. And yet we were committed to do this. Well, we didn't discuss this need with anybody, but I'll tell you what happened. The pastor had gone to a meeting and received a nice love offering, and the Lord just touched his heart, and instead of putting it in the bank, he brought it down to my wife's house. His wife brought it to my wife and said, here, use this to take care of the meal that you're going to serve to the preachers. And I was just blown away. I mean, how the Lord does these things. And of course, it was sufficient to take care of every need. We've never been in a situation where we couldn't pay bills. All right, now listen. In order to be able to invest like this, to build a growth portfolio, that is to scatter, thus increasing, to give so that it be given to you, by laying it up in heaven, by taking care of the weak, when you have the sufficiency to be able to do it, there's something you ought to do. You ought to have a plan. You ought to plan to be able to accomplish this, because you'll never get started. You'll never get started. What will happen is you'll always find, well, I just can't do it this month. I've already spent all the money. Well, here's the two things to do. Number one, monthly or regular giving. Purpose in your heart to give. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've already been there once before. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 6. The context is giving. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. So there comes a time when you purpose in your heart to give. I can remember way back there when my wife and I first started giving, we just decided, okay, we're going to give this much to missions each month. And so we purpose that in our heart. And you know what happens when you do that? You don't end up spending the money on something else because you've said, okay, just like I have a mortgage and just like I have a utility bill payment, I also do this for missions. And it's something that you just plan to give. And the Lord says, do it cheerfully. God loveth a cheerful giver. And so my wife and I were cheerful to do those things. And what I'm saying is some giving ought to be planned, like weekly giving or monthly giving to missions. many years ago, my wife and I began giving monthly to missions. And it's interesting how we've been able to increase that over time. And there have been times when I got pretty nervous about it. As a matter of fact, I actually backed off of the amount that we were doing on a weekly basis for a period of time because I got scared. The Lord came through and took care of all that stuff, and we should have never had to back off in the first place. The Lord just checked us out to see where our heart really was. And you know what? His provisions have been more than abundant. So in order to accomplish wise investing by giving to the Lord, you ought to have monthly giving, and you ought to have something I call abundance giving. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, in verses 10 through 14, the Bible says, Paul speaking, he said, "Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to wills, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality." What's Paul saying? The Corinthians had made a decision to do something to help the poor saints back in Jerusalem, but they hadn't gotten on to making their offering. And he said, now perform it. And he says that it is accepted according as a man hath and not according to that he hath not. So many people say, well, you know what, if I had an extra $1,000 lying around, I'd be glad to support missions, but I don't have that kind of extra money lying around. And he said, no, it's not according to what you don't have, it's according to what you have. You do have $5 laying around, $10 laying around, or whatever it may be, so you make the decision based upon that. And then the Lord said, there's a time when you have an abundance, like in verse 14, and when you do, you give from that. And that's when you're flush with cash, you do more than what you've been planning to do on a regular basis, instead of going to buy some new asset, for instance. And all of these things, just in this lesson, I have found to be true. These things that you've been listening to in this broadcast today are what I call the secret of investing with the Lord. And that secret of investing with the Lord is giving, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.